I got to ask you what you think of this Groupon Super Bowl ad and the ensuing melee.
Well, it's interesting because when I saw the ad, I was like, wow, did I really just see that? You know, did Kenneth Cole write that ad? I mean, it was really kind of a bit shocking. But I got to tell you, the whole pile on with the, oh, they're retarded, oh, they're stupid, oh, how could they be so dumb? No. Every time.
Really? Really?
Every time I see that reaction, I just instantly start thinking the other direction because these people aren't stupid. That ad agency isn't stupid. The guy who founded Groupon is not stupid. Now, what they might have done might be shocking to our sensibilities, but that doesn't mean they didn't do it on purpose. So here's a different way to think about it. So they know they're going to outrage all the right people, which is all of us, you know, in the media, in social media, the bloggers, et cetera. And they got a ton of additional attention because of it. And you're saying, well, wait, but that's bad attention. You know, and I'm not one of these people that thinks all PR is good PR, but you got to think about it this way. They did have an answer, an excuse on the website, even though they never said anything in the ad, which would appear to be completely stupid, but you could do it on purpose so that you could later apologize because you're like, oh, we had all the stuff on the website that shows it was a joke. We just didn't realize people wouldn't go look that up, you know? So they get all this attention and people are, you know, they're banking on the fact that the average American is more interested in saving money than worried about Tibet. So, you know, it's a theory, right? But here's the kicker. Yesterday, Advertising Age revealed that their subscriber base went up, not down.
Internet marketing for smart people. Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. My name is Robert Bruce, and I am here again with the founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media, Brian Clark. Brian, everybody's talking about Groupon. Everybody is talking about Groupon all the time. And I know you've got some opinions on their business model, on what they're doing, on how they're doing it. And I want to ask you, what is this Groupon phenomenon really about?
Yeah, so notwithstanding their potentially, or definitely their Super Bowl ad was controversial, whether or not it was engineered that way or not, we'll never know. But keep an open mind to the deviousness of the top levels of advertising. but yeah, you know, forgetting about that, Groupon is a very simple, very powerful, not necessarily cutting edge, but very powerful internet marketing company. And what gets me is that, you know, what drives this company has been written off more times than Wired Magazine has declared the web dead, which it did back in 97, I believe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what is it that drives, what is at the center of Groupon?
Well, it's email marketing, of course. I mean, there's some elements there, and I want to get into it. So let me get this straight. I don't dislike Groupon. I think these people understand things at a fundamentally better level than most people online do. What gets me riled up is my pet peeve, which is the digital sharecropper thing, right? You know, kills me to see people building so-called websites on Facebook that they don't control, don't own, can't even dictate the rules for. Facebook changes their rules every other day. You know, we just launched a Copyblogger Facebook page and they changed the way pages work 3 days later. You know, I was like, wow, welcome.
You didn't have a direct line to Zuckerberg to be able to talk about that, you know, or anything or have any say in it?
He never calls me anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's just, you know, ever since the movie came out. So what gets me riled up is, look, basically what Groupon does is do email marketing for local businesses who won't do it for themselves, right? Hmm. Because they just won't, just like people won't build real websites or do real content marketing. But the people who do it themselves are the ones who make all the money, who make their own rules, who actually put forth innovation in favor of themselves and for their customers. So all I'm saying is, hey, Groupon's great, good for them. What I'm saying is don't use Groupon, because basically their only shtick is, hey, we built the email list for you. And by the way, you're going to pay us to be on that email list. Oh, and by the way, you have to give a discount, which is the worst form of marketing ever, but it's about as creative as a lot of small businesses get. They're like, what should we do to market? Let's have a sale. You know, I mean, but, you know, discounting the value of your stuff, unless it's done very strategically, is generally not good, you know, and you're basically training people to wait for the sale. So a lot of people that are on the Groupon list, the idea is you're not going to make any money off the promotion, because you're not getting any return on investment, because you're discounting, and sometimes so many people show up that service suffers, say, for example, it's a restaurant, whatever. So what they're counting on is transforming these freebie seekers into regular customers. Well, guess what? These aren't the best type of people to do that with. So I'm making the case that it's not that challenging to go around Groupon as a small business. And I'm also saying that on a local level and on a more niche focus level, you could do what Groupon's doing yourself. So, and I'm seeing that every day. Just today, Sonia hit me up and said, someone just pitched us on a niche Groupon concept they want to partner with. And I'm like, yeah, I thought of that idea like a month ago. You know, it's, the opportunity is everywhere.
All right, so let's break this down. Don't be a digital sharecropper. You can, in essence, be your own Groupon. A smaller level, of course. Most likely you're not going to grow to that size. But your business, you can do it yourself. What are some of the elements then? You know, you already talked about email marketing. Essentially, it is an email list. What are some of those elements then of what they are and how Groupon has done it?
Okay, so this is what drives Groupon, and it is so old school in a good way. Again, I'm not being critical here. I'm trying to make the point that old school is what works. In fact, that might be the overriding theme of Copyblogger for the last 5 years, which is, look, it's basically the same stuff since Aristotle applied in a new context, right? So Groupon is email marketing. It's scarcity, which is the whole Groupon concept, which is we've got this many discounted spots for this many people, right? So it's scarcity. We tell you time and time again, to get people to take action, you got to take something away or you have to limit it somehow. That's just how human beings are. Okay, so email marketing, scarcity, and what Groupon really has is a really great old school sales force, meaning people who pick up the phone, smile and dial, and sign up merchants all over the place, right? Very simple, very fundamental, very profitable.
Okay, how does scarcity apply then? Because in this case, in Groupon's case, they're acting as the third, the middleman, right, for the business, between the business and the buyer. What would scarcity, can you give us an example of what scarcity would look like for a small business setting up their own quote-unquote Groupon?
Okay. So basically you're not setting up your own Groupon, but what you're doing is creating a one-to-one relationship with your prospects and customers, which is the foundational element of content marketing. It's been the foundational element of email marketing since permission marketing came out in 99 with Seth Godin, right? So that's what you're doing. And you're a digital sharecropper when you're farming out that relationship to the wrong people through Groupon, right? So if you're going to have that direct relationship, you know, look at scarcity. I mean, we're about to launch our premise landing page software. And for the first week, the people only on our internet marketing for smart people list are going to get the best deal ever And there's a lot of reasons why we would do that, because your initial customers can give you feedback. They'll end up making the product better. They're going to get all the updates of the product in the future. So it's in their interest to give us that feedback. So everyone wins. They get a great deal. We get feedback. Everyone gets a better product. But we're only going to sign those people up for a week. That's scarcity right there.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And so there's so many examples of ways you can do that. I mean, instead of going the Groupon route and cutting your prices, you know, if you're a retailer, you can sell only one specific item at a discount, thereby getting people in the store, thereby increasing the odds that they're going to buy something else. Same thing could be done with a particular entree at a restaurant. You can cut your commission for home sellers as a realtor for a short period of time if they list with you. I mean, it's just your imagination is the only limit here.
Let's get into some details about what this kind of setup could look like. I mean, in terms of a website, in terms of the marketing required to get people to it, are we talking about a landing page? Are we talking about, you know, talking to customers individually? What could this look like for a local, hyper-local small business?
Yeah, and so this is the rub, because it's going, of course, to depend. Because I think the most innovative hyper-local business would be one who does what I talked about in a previous show, which is own a neighborhood, right?
A zip code. And
exactly. And, you know, to me, it makes a lot of sense for someone in the real estate business to do that, because, you know, their commissions are high. You know, you only have to do a certain amount of transactions to make a really good living. It'd be easy to fund that type of project. And as I pointed out, if it works, all of a sudden you're making money from other local businesses, because, you know, you're not a digital sharecropper if you have to advertise somewhere. I mean, that's been going on forever. But the ability to go one-to-one is something that, you know, was not possible before the internet. So you got to find a way to get that list. And, you know, I see local businesses who try to get you to sign up for their email list when you're in the store. 100% behind that. You know, they'll send specials, certain information, stuff like that. That's basically the real world hyperlocal Groupon thing. It's just, I think, how you go about it and the value, the extra value that you add. If you can find a way to add more value than just discounts or news, right? Because a lot of small businesses are like, yeah, of course you're fascinated with whatever it is we're doing. Well, no, probably not, which is the barrier to getting them to on your email list in the first place, because they're like, I don't want you sending me email. It's got to be – you got to add some value.
Yeah, you talked about in the real estate business you had, you talked about some of the special reports, like the top 10 things to look out for. You'll have to correct me here what they actually were, but the top 10 things to look out for when moving to Austin. And it seemed like you had three or four like pretty serious special reports available to people before they signed up for, before they even talked to you.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things, you know, I mean, in real estate, people, they're looking for home listings and they're looking, you know, if they're a buyer and they're looking for how much their home is worth, if they're a seller, before they want necessarily to speak to you. So those are two lead generation things right there. But there's all that ancillary information, you know, for a first time home buyer, a lot of times they don't know anything. If you educate them, you know, you go up in their estimation quite a bit. People who are relocating need area guides and information, like you said about Austin. You know, all sorts of demographics, you know, empty nester, downsizing your home, you know, which is the converse of the first time home buyer. It's more like the last time home buyer. You know, all these things have special issues and angles if you're a professional and know your stuff. And like I always say, if you don't know more than your average prospect does about your topic, you probably shouldn't be in that business.
Let's look at probably what are the top three traffic sources that most people are aware of and use, starting off with pay-per-click. What do you think of pay-per-click in a situation like this?
I think pay-per-click in the local context is appropriate. Again, I think local search is kind of the Wild West right now, and that there are opportunities for people who are ambitious and who will publish the hyperlocal valuable content to rank well in local search. And of course, that's the way I think first. But back in the day, I did a combination of that and pay-per-click. But again, my focus was different. I wasn't trying to sell them right after the click on my ultimate, you know, what made me money. I'm trying to sell them on opting in for something valuable.
It was the first in a series of steps.
Exactly. Right. So everyone's looking to consummate the marriage before they've had a first date, and it just doesn't work that way. You could tell on Copyblogger we've had, I don't know how in the world we ended up having a Valentine's week. I think it's that pink-haired female that runs the blog now. But anyway, a lot of good dating and whatever analogies to business this week, you know, but that's always my favorite, which is everyone's trying to close the deal on the honeymoon, you know, when it's really a courtship.
And this is a cool one, too, that, you know, if you're trying to rank for sushi on Google, it's just not going to happen.
And what but if you're trying to do you anyway,
right.
Why would you want someone in Portland finding you if you're a sushi shop in Austin? I mean, that doesn't convert.
But it's pretty doable to hit sushi Portland, Oregon.
Or even if it's in a smaller town, like if it's, you know, you got about 60,000 people in an upscale kind of suburban town, you've probably got three or four sushi places at most. There's 10 results on the first page for that, right?
Yeah.
So if you can't rank for that, there are serious issues. But it, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
So,
okay, let's get on to the second thing here in terms of traffic sources. Let's look at offline ads. This one kind of jumped out at me, surprised me a little bit. You still into the offline advertising?
I mean, you know, I foresee, you know, as newspapers are starting to shut down and go online or just shut down in general, I still see a heavy migration to the web. And again, if you're a local business, be the newspaper, you know? I mean, be your little hyper niche publication. Think like the media. You're in the media business. But beyond that, let's be realistic. Not everyone's going to do it. Even if someone in your area is the ambitious one, you're going to end up paying them one way or another later, right? So someone's going to take the content marketing opportunity there at the hyper level local, and there's a chance you might be advertising with them or in one way or another. But barring that, you know, you still have the local weeklies that are free, that are funded by local advertising. You have the even smaller ones in the smaller towns, you know, so like there's the Dallas Observer in Dallas, which is an independent, free, wide circulation, stuffed with ads for bands and, you know, massage therapists. you know, you've got these other more hyper-local things that are powered by the dentist and the chiropractors and the cosmetic, you know, dentistry or surgeons or all that kind of stuff. High dollar professional services. I have actually, my sister-in-law is a chiropractor, and I've assisted her with placement of, you know, it's like an advertorial. It's content, but it's also obviously, I mean, it's just like, it is content marketing. I mean, that is where content marketing started offline in that type of stuff. So it has independent value, but it's clearly promoting one solution if you're going to take the next step. So you got to start thinking that way. You don't place an ad that's trying to get to the honeymoon night. What you got to do is somehow deliver some content or advertise content, right? Now, if you're a dry cleaner, this probably isn't going to work for you, and you better choose your location well. Location, location, location still works to a certain degree. Beyond that, you're going to have to provide some value, and content's what people want.
Yeah.
And you just got to remember, what's your goal? If you're not in a position to convert that to the sale fairly quickly – you've got to get them to opt in. And this all becomes about, well, where do you send that traffic, whether it's pay-per-click or it's search or it's the local weekly or it's someone else's hyperlocal website? Where are you going to send them? You're going to send them to a landing page, specifically an email opt-in landing page. And it's got to have, you know, solid headline. It's got to have compelling benefits and a reason why they ought to pay attention to you over time. So it really comes back to the fundamentals. But let me tell you, that's, you know what the Groupon homepage is? A landing page for email opt-ins.
Yep. Powered, well, at this point, powered so much by word of mouth as well, which if that raises a good question. If you're working with an opt-in landing page, what are, let's just take one thing because we're running out of time here a little bit, but let's, like, the back end of that opt-in landing page, what is a way that we can use, you know, content marketing to drive traffic to that page?
Well, again, okay, so, you know, that goes back to your attraction strategy, but you either have to advertise content available at that page. Essentially, that's it. Okay. You know, it really boils down to that, whether you're using pay-per-click or you're using a banner ad or you're using an offline ad or you're ranking well in natural search or you've got a huge content site that you're publishing to weekly that is designed to attract people generally and then you funnel people specifically to the opt-in. We've talked about, I mean, the entire Internet Marketing for Smart People email course, the free course, that's what it's about. I mean, it's exactly how to get people to pay attention to you over time and how to eventually convert that into money. I mean, that's the whole business. And that's why Groupon is such an example of how simple and how powerful it can be as long as you don't outsource everything to them. You know, some people are, but I'm encouraging you to do it yourself.
This involves regular communication, regular conversation through the content, whether you're doing, you know, the offline ads, the content or the pay-per-click, a regular touch, right?
Yeah. And again, it's going to vary by business, and your relationship with the people. It's obvious from Groupon that just advertising promotional stuff will work. But again, you train people to wait until the next promotion. So if you mix it up with some independent value and try some other forms of promotion that don't necessarily involve cutting your prices, then you might find that you are making a whole bunch more money than if you had gone the Groupon route.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up, man. We've got a launch coming up for a new product.
Yep. And I think I actually mentioned that earlier.
But, you did.
Yeah, you actually will get a great deal on that if you're on our email list. But the reason why we're doing that is we always like to make the product even better. But we have really been working hard on this thing. It's premise, it's landing pages for WordPress, plus copywriting advice, plus things like a built-in graphics library, split testing, conversion optimization seminars. It's really the whole deal. We're not going to just sell you software and not tell you how to use it. So yeah, and we're going to have a free headline webinar that comes out right before that. And I just worked on it yesterday with Jeff Sexton, and it got to tell you, it's really solid stuff. And Jeff deserves a lot of the credit there. But basically what he did was he dissected a whole bunch of past copy blogger headlines and gives you like these concrete principles and a framework in which you understand why the headline worked, and therefore you can write your own headline. So I think it's going to be really useful, and everyone on the Internet Marketing for Smart People list gets that webinar, plus the 20-part course, plus the deal on premise. So
can I get an advanced copy of that talk with Jeff Sexton? I need some headline help.
Yeah, you've been doing better, but yeah, I'll slide that your way.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening, as always. And Brian, you have yourself a great week down there, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, man.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.